You're listening to DeBears Brothers podcast and postgame show, the place where Bears fans across the globe hang out online after every Bears game. Now get ready, because it's time to bear down. Welcome back, Bears fans, to another episode of the Bears Brothers Podcast. Even though it's been less than 48 hours since our postgame show, we're trucking along through this short week, and we're back with our game preview for this Thanksgiving matchup between our NFC North leading Chicago Bears versus the Detroit Lions, a team we beat just 9 days ago. I'm Russell DeWitt, and to help me preview this week's game are my Bears brothers, Brandon Hazlett, Nicholas Moriano. Fellas, I want to know, how was your fourth straight victory Monday?
It was awesome. But I got a question for you. You said we're trucking along. Is it a Mack truck?
It has to be.
But no, my victory Monday was good, Will. Always good to have the Bears win, going to work on that Monday, feeling that victory. How was your victory Monday?
Really well. Like, even down here in Bloomington, wearing my Bears Bros hat, sometimes people are like, "Hey, did you watch that game?" I'm like, "Heck yeah, I watched that game." Like, Bears fans are coming out. So no matter if you're in the city, if you live away from it, these Bears fans have been in hiding for so long, they're coming out, and it's a lot of fun to see. It's really interesting to strike up conversations in public about this team. And, you know, I don't really try to self-promote the podcast. Sometimes I do if the conversation kind of goes right, but like, just to talk about players about this team, well, people, I guess I should say, about this team, it's a lot of fun. But guys, I want to know, are you ready for this week's game preview?
Absolutely.
Let's do it, do it.
All right, and I just want to let our listeners know that this week's game preview is going to be slightly different, not really entirely different, but since we seriously just had a full week previewing the Detroit Lions, I don't want to rehash a bunch of the same stuff, so here we go. Let's just dive right on in, and let's go ahead and begin this preview, and I want to go ahead and start this conversation with the Bears offense, because even though it's a unit that didn't really light things up last week through the year, they played very well against a stout Minnesota defense. And Thursday, they're going to be going back up against the Lions. And in the last game, just in case you forgot, the Bears offense put up over 400 yards and averaged 7.5 yards per play. And I guess we should start this conversation with Mitchell Trubisky. He had one of his best games of the season against the Lions. He went 23 of 30 for 3 touchdowns, and he played with poise and confidence throughout and was able to hit countless throws for 20-plus. Now, it did come out that Trubisky, he suffered an injury to his throwing shoulder against the Vikings. And it doesn't appear to be serious, but of course, you never want to see your quarterback on the injury report. So a few things here, guys. I want to know, what's your level of concern with the shoulder? Is it something that you're worrying about? And how does it change your thoughts about this game? Because Nagy didn't seem overly confident that Trubisky will play. And of course, an injured quarterback on a short week is nothing to take lightly. So, Nick, where do you stand on this Trubisky shoulder kind of developing story?
Yeah, when I heard Matt Nagy addressing the press conference, just watching his body language and how he described the injury, to me, I know he said they're cautiously optimistic that he could play on Thursday, but I have a feeling that he isn't going to play. Anytime you have an injury to your throwing shoulder, and especially on a short week going against a division opponent, one, the Detroit Lions are going to want to get, you know, revenge for how the Bears beat them just a couple of weeks ago at Soldier Field. And Trubisky's going to have a bigger target on his back, or specifically his right shoulder. So I'm not all for having Trubisky playing this game, especially if he's not 100%. Obviously, it's going to be a big game, division game, but I just don't think you could risk it. Look how they addressed Allen Robinson and Khalil Mack. They were injured, they got them healthy, and now they're good to go, hopefully for the rest of the season. And I think the Bears and how they've addressed injuries this season are going to do the exact same thing. I know it's your quarterback, but you have a capable backup in Chase Daniel. So for me, I'm not playing Trubisky, especially not knowing where he's at with that throwing shoulder, and I'm good with Chase Daniel starting against the Lions on Thursday.
I tend to agree. I'm going to let Brandon chime in first, and I'll kind of give my reasoning behind it. But Brandon, where do you kind of sit on this whole thing?
Well, since you already said you agree and Nick already says that he's not playing Trubisky, I thirdly agree with that because there's no need to push the issue here, especially on a short week. Like Nick said, we've got a very capable quarterback in Chase Daniel, and I don't think that Matt Nagy shies away from his aggressiveness at all in his game planning because he knows Chase Daniel's been around the system. He hasn't necessarily been out there on the field to execute it because he's had better quarterbacks out there, so it's understandable that Chase Daniel doesn't quite have the stats to back up and he knows the system, but we know that he knows the system. He's been with Matt Nagy for the last couple of years, so there's no need to really fret, I don't think. I don't think that the young, aggressive coach is going to shy away. You know, we'll see some coaches have a different game plan for their backup quarterback because they're a little timid, but I don't think that's going to be the case with Nagy. He really puts confidence in his guys, and I don't see that really being an issue here, so might as well just rest Trubisky on Thursday and play Chase Daniel.
Yeah, because even though I think there was like a year gap in which Daniel and of course Nagy weren't together, but that's when Daniel was the backup for Drew Brees. And I remember when Daniel first came here and he said he's known to being the smartest quarterback in the room. And when you are under Drew Brees and you're saying that, that it's a testament to like your football knowledge. And regardless about Chase Daniel, Trubisky, whoever's playing, Detroit, they have allowed 3 passing touchdowns to quarterbacks in 3 of their last 4 games. So even if Chase Daniel's out there, I anticipate him being effective. I mean, just look what he did. If you guys don't remember what he did against Kansas City in the preseason with the second team offense going up against Kansas City starters. And I know that it's easier to score points against Kansas City's defense. I mean, look what just happened last night. But even then, Detroit statistically is worse in terms of passing defense. So Chase Daniel, he knows the system inside and out. I think he said he knows it like the back of his hand, which, I mean, that's why we brought him in here, and he can play within it. He can be that game manager. And Detroit, what it makes it even better, they're bottom in terms of pressure. That'll help. And they've also given up the second higher pass rating this year with 116. So regardless, if Chase Daniel's out there, I don't anticipate it really holding this offense back too much. Now, there are some different elements where Trubisky kind of takes his offense to the next level. But in terms of being a game manager, playing within the system, we should be in good hands here. And as long as Daniel doesn't throw away this game, which I don't anticipate him being that kind of quarterback to do so, we should be able to find a way to still beat the Lions. Trubisky's absence should not hinder our overall performance this week. But what about you, Nick? What should Bears fans expect if Chase Daniel is out there starting?
You know what? With Chase Daniel knowing this offense and being with Nagy for as long as he has back to the Kansas City days, you should expect him to not actually take it back. This is this is a league now where we've seen backup quarterbacks do some exceptional things. Just look last year with Nick Foles and just quarterbacks that have come in who are able to run an offense and still run it effectively. I'm not going to say that Mitch Trubisky is like a system quarterback. I want to get that across, but if you plug in a quarterback into the system, people are still running wide open. Now it's just about hitting those targets. So that's why I'm confident that Matt Nagy and Chase Daniel, if that's, you know, who starts on Thursday, is going to be able to run this offense effectively. He's been with the guys ever since the beginning of training camp, learning the offense right when Trubisky's learning it, and he's got even more of a background with it. So I'm confident that Daniel's going to be able to run the plays that Matt Nagy wants to run. Obviously, Trubisky brings athleticism that Daniel doesn't have quite as much, but go back, like you said, to that Kansas City game. He's rolling outside the pocket. They're designed rollouts. He's able to do that effectively, get out in space. So I think Daniel's definitely a capable quarterback. You're not going to see 28 or 30 points, I don't think. But as long as you get 20, I think you're good to beat the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, and on top of that, too, I don't want to say I like about this, but something that could bode well in our favor, if Trubisky has to sit a week, which again, like you said, Nick, if that means he can be healthy going forward, that's the right move to make here. Because I was telling you guys last night when we heard about this, like, well, this is the perfect time for any of this to kind of come up with Detroit and then the Giants the week after, even though with a week and a half, he should be okay to go against New York. But the Lions have no idea what Matt Nagy can do with Chase Daniel because he knows the system. There are things that Trubisky doesn't know yet or hasn't really grasped that he can deploy this week, which means all of the tape that they have in this offense so far might be for naught. And that might be a good way that we can surprise this defense, which, again, this is a defense we had a lot of success with a time ago, and they're going to try to find a way to adjust so that doesn't happen. So now we have to find ways to beat them in different areas of the field, and I really think that Daniel being the quarterback could be a perfect way to go ahead and do that. Brandon, is there anything else about the quarterback situation that you want to bring up before we move on?
I know you guys pretty much touched on everything. The one thing that I wanted to hit on that you touched on, Will, was we might see deeper plays out of the playbook because we typically see only about three formations with Trubisky. And with Chase Daniel, we may see, you know, two or three different formations on top of three we see on a frequent basis. So I'm excited to see what else is deeper in that playbook because I think Matt Nagy is definitely going to pull it out.
Will, I think it's worth mentioning, even though it's not the best statistic, we were just talking about it right before we went live, is that today happens to be the day, same exact day 7 years ago that Jay Cutler got injured when the Bears were 7-3. Just to put that out there, completely different injuries. Trubisky's not long-term. Cutler went 7-3, but those Bears did end up losing the next five. Not saying that's going to happen here because, like I said, just a stat to kind of think about. It's crazy because we were also talking about the Joe Theismann and Alex Smith injury that happened same exact day. It's crazy to think about how all these things in the NFL can just happen, you know, at the same exact, not same exact time, but coincidentally same exact day and, you know, throughout history, which is kind of weird.
It's the world's a weird place, guys. It really is. All right, so moving on. In the last meeting between the Bears and the Lions, Allen Robinson came back and had that huge game, over 130 yards and two touchdowns on six catches. But remember, that was with Darius Slay on the sidelines, and he returned last week for Detroit, but he did give up four catches for 54 yards and a score. Obviously, he's still dealing with that knee issue, and he's not 100%. But, Nick, I want to go back to you. How would Slay's presence on the field change how the Bears attack this defense?
He's a good corner. He really is. But that's not going to change Matt Nagy's system because still in this game against Carolina with Slay, the Carolina Panthers know that the middle of the field is open against the Detroit Lions. These guys are just not the best man-to-man covered corners. And that's what I saw a lot of, again, what the Bears did against Detroit, running those slant routes towards the middle of the field. I expect Matt Nagy to still bring that this week until the Lions can prove that they can cover that. Why go away from it? And that happened just last week against Carolina. Cam Newton was able to find his receivers and against these Detroit Lions DBs. So with Darius Slay, yes, it gives you a better player, more of a chance to maybe guard those slants. But the Bears are still going to run them because they have been effective, and they were effective for the Bears when they played Detroit. They were effective for the Carolina Panthers when they played them.
Yeah, and on top of that, too, what the Bears can do, even with Chase Daniel, if he has to play, what they did last week, 2 weeks ago, 9 days ago, a week and a half, however you want to frame it, and that was attacking the safeties down the field. They had a lot of success doing that because Trubisky, he actually had a perfect pass rating when targeting the safeties. He was 8 of 10 for 227 yards and two touchdowns. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Brandon, how about you? Anything else about the Bears passing game that you want to bring up? Again, I know we're trying to not repeat things that were mentioned last time, which is very hard considering, like I said, less than 2 weeks ago we played them. But anything else in the Bears passing game that you want to kind of throw out there?
I'm excited to see, because we've seen Chase Daniel in the preseason even throw it deep downfield in one-on-one coverage. So we know he has the confidence to do it. And that was where Trubisky had a lot of success. The play that I keep finding in my notes is the deep pass to the end zone that was a little short, but it was placed right where it had to be for Allen Robinson to get the ball for that touchdown. Put the Bears up 13-0. Because that was one of the extra points missed. But regardless, I'm excited to see Chase Daniel be able to be aggressive, like you said, throw it downfield in those one-on-one situations. I think Nagy feels totally comfortable with his quarterbacks attacking that. And even with Darius Slay, you know, you brought up that he gave up four catches still because he's rusty. He still has the knee issue. And with very solid route runners, he's going to have a hard time making adjustments on those cuts. So I think that's definitely something he should take advantage of early, beat him while he's down.
Absolutely. How about you, Nick? Anything else?
I would say just from watching that Carolina game, Nevin Lawson, their number 24, their safety, not a guy that has given up some big plays, and especially against the Panthers and one-on-one coverage. I think that's a place where Nagy's going to look to exploit because he didn't have a good game last week. Didn't have a good game against the Bears. Might as well, like you said, Will, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Absolutely. Two things I want to note here, too. Last week, Trey Burton, he's coming off a season-low one catch against the Vikings. And the last time we played the Lions, he caught all four of his targets. So perhaps he gets more involved, especially if Daniel kind of plays and needs that security blanket over underneath in the middle of the field. And on top of that, don't forget, last time Taylor Gabriel was shut out against the Lions. So on top of that, we saw huge games from Anthony Miller and, of course, Allen Robinson. So I wonder who the Lions are going to try to eliminate this week. So if they try to take away Robinson, they try to take away Miller, perhaps this is a game where Taylor Gabriel, who was highly involved against the Minnesota Vikings, can get more acclimated. But regardless, no matter who the Lions want to take away, the Bears do have someone else ready to step up and take over, which is the beauty of the playmakers and this offense that we have here in Chicago. All right, so even though that the Lions have been shredded on the ground for the most part of the season, 4.8 yards per attempt and 125 yards per game, we have to give them some credit here because they've been very strong in their last two games. They've held the Panthers to only 56 rushing yards and us to 54. Now, I know the Bears surprised us with some unorthodox, but still effective, I should say, rushing on Sunday night. And a couple weeks back, I don't think we really needed the ground game due to the tremendous success that we had through the year that we've kind of mentioned. So I want to know, what are going to be your expectations for the Bears on the ground? And again, it does seem like every week we expect them to tear up teams on the ground. They don't. And when we expect them to struggle, they surprise. So, Brandon, when it comes to the Bears rushing attack, what should we expect? Do you even know what to expect at this point?
No, and part of me wanted to say, you know, I expect to see them establish the run game a little bit more with a backup quarterback in there. When I was thinking about this earlier this afternoon, I went, no, that's not going to happen because Matt Nagy is just an aggressive coach, and when he finds something that works, he sticks with it. So if that means, I mean, schematically doing the same thing against Detroit that they did against Minnesota, where they run these sweeps to open up the middle of the field for Jordan Howard to get, you know, more than 40-something yards, whatever he had against the Lions a couple weeks ago. Oh, he only had 21 yards. So that's a fun fact. I think, you know, if he does that, he'll be able to have more than 20 yards on the ground rushing, but I don't think it's something that Matt Nagy is going to put his focus on. So I don't expect a whole lot out of this unit. I expect to see some similar schematic things as far as trying to figure out where to open up holes and things of that nature as the game goes on, but I don't expect it to be a huge part of the offense.
Nick, how about you?
You know, you want to see the Bears be able to build off of that Sunday night performance with the Vikings rushing the football, especially with Jordan Howard against, you know, another division opponent, Detroit Lions, who they struggled with. And it would be great to see the running game do well, but you just don't know what to expect from it. Like, we didn't expect anything to come out of the Minnesota game, but they had success, and then vice versa against the Detroit Lions. But I think for this one, with Chase Daniel, I know I said they're going to, you know, most likely keep the same kind of offense out there. I think it would be really, really beneficial to have that running game so you can just run out the clock, because you know your defense is going to keep Detroit out of the end zone, do its thing. So just, you know, win this game by staying in bounds on those runs, just milk that clock, end the game, get out of there with the victory. Trubisky, whether he plays or not, you know, that's how you want to do it. But whether or not the Bears can is the question, because we just never know what to expect out of this running, running game.
I'll tell you what, I know mano a mano, our offensive line versus Detroit's front seven, we have an advantage. Now, it's execution and the willingness to stick with it. Because remember last time against the Lions, Tariq Cohen was getting all these inside zones, and we were so confused why we were actually doing that. So if we use that with Jordan Howard, perhaps he can churn the field just like we did last week against the Vikings with Howard. He was pretty effective up the front. Now, he didn't bust out any big time runs, but he was still highly effective on the ground, at least to the degree this season. I'm not saying he was as effective as he was, of course, in his first couple of seasons. But Brandon, you mentioned a statement that really kind of stuck with me, and that's Matt Nagy's an aggressive coach, and if he knows he's having success, he's not going to change anything. But this is the first time that he's actually playing the same opponent twice. So I want to know, Nick, I want to go to you first. Are there any specific adjustments that you do want to see him make?
I think thinking back to that game with, the first matchup, it was just the interior offensive line just didn't get that push, right? And we really saw that against the Minnesota Vikings, especially between, the two guards, just right up the middle. That's where Jordan Howard had a lot of success. So however they can do it, and they face a good opponent, Linval Joseph for the Vikings, and they're going to have another one with Damon Harrison in the middle, try to win that matchup again. That's where they had success. And I think that's where the Bears can have success in the running game. But there's nothing really specific because, again, it's a different opponent, different matchup. So I think if you could do that, though, that's going to give you the most chance to succeed.
What about you, B? Anything else anything that you would like to see Matt Nagy change this time around from the last time that he played the Lions? Because it worked very well in the first half last time, and then they kind of simmered down like they have all season long in the second half on offense.
Right. I'm just kind of looking at the time and possession that both teams had. Detroit had the ball for 4 minutes longer than Chicago did. So maybe that's something that he can improve on, I guess, is establishing that run to be able to take away more clock rather than throwing on first and 10, throwing an incomplete pass, and the clock stops. I mean, you lose time and possession on that one, and you can always win if you have the ball. Well, I don't say always, because the Lions didn't win in this case, but I think more chances than not, if you have the ball longer than your opponent, then they're going to be able to, because if they can take the crowd out of it, just kind of lull everyone to sleep with a run game. It doesn't have to be a consistent, like, consistent pound it up the middle every time when you pick up 2 yards, but be able to hold on to the ball for longer periods of time, have a longer sustained drive. And I like that Nagy likes to put up points quick, but maybe this is an instance where at home you can really take the crowd out of the game, or away, I should say. You can take Detroit's crowd out of the game early and just never look back if they can hold on to it early and figure out a way to turn the corner, put up points faster in the second half. So I guess that's one adjustment. I guess it's just game management.
Yeah, I think that's something that he's been improving on all season. And of course, you just want to see continual steps in the right direction. And you bring up a good point about crowd noise, because I've been to a Bears-Lions game 2013 in Detroit. And if Detroit gets off to an early and a hot start, that place is loud. And we want to find a way to eliminate that as much as possible, especially if we have a backup quarterback in there with a different cadence, a different rhythm that the offensive line isn't used to. That's going to be, a key element of this game, because we saw it in Buffalo, working at Charles Leno Jr. there with all the false starts. We need to make sure that if we can take the crowd noise out of it, that should limit that on the road with a backup quarterback. So guys, to cap off our offensive discussion, I have a simple question, and one of those simple question, perhaps complicated answer time, but maybe not. And Nick, I'm going to go to you. What are some of your keys to success for the Bears offense as a whole?
Especially if it's Chase Daniel, and we still don't know, it's just not turning over the football. That would be crucial. That would, be detrimental, I should say, in a game like this where you don't have your starting quarterback. So that's going to be the key in this one. Chase Daniel, if he is a starter, can't lose the Bears the ball game. Because, again, as good as that defense is, if you put them in bad opportunities with short fields in Detroit on Thanksgiving Day, where they're used to this, they're used to, playing on this game every single year, that can really hurt the team. So Chase Daniel, as much as he maybe would like to take risks being, out there being the starter for a week, you really got to take those calculated risks like we've been talking about all season, regardless of who the quarterback is. So that's going to be big for me, is that Chase Daniel needs to play not conservative, but he needs to play smart. And he is a smart guy, like we alluded to earlier in the podcast. So I think that's going to be the big thing for Chase Daniel.
I mean, he follows our Twitter account, so I know he's a smart guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I will give the defense credit here, because last week we did give them some very poor spots against Minnesota, and they did hold tough in the second half of this game. Tariq Cohen's fumble and Mitchell Trubisky's interception. And regardless, we held them to field goals on both of those. So I will give the defense credit, and that might be the benefit of going up against the Lions this week with a backup quarterback, because if something like that does happen, we have a defense that should be able to mitigate the damage. Now, for me, I don't know if this is the key, but I would like to see it happen again. In the last meeting, if you guys remember, the Bears scored touchdowns on their first four drives in that very first half. Now, obviously, that's a very hard feat to accomplish twice against the same exact opponent, potentially with a backup quarterback. But what led to that success, which is going to be my key, was being on or ahead of schedule, because the Bears only faced 2 third downs on those 4 scoring drives. So to stay on or ahead of schedule, be aggressive, and the Lions, they should fold, just like they did the last time that we went up against them. So that's going to be my key. It's going to be staying ahead of schedule and trying to eliminate those third down plays. How about you, Brandon? Any other keys to success for the Bears offense?
Well, it wouldn't be a preview show if I didn't say win the trenches, because I think as long as, the Lions only got 1 sack last time, a couple weeks ago, 9 days ago, week and a half ago, whatever we decided that time lapse was, and it was to Deshaun Hand. So, it's not like it was one of their premier pass rushers. They kept Damon Harrison in check. They kept Deshaun Hand in check. He had the 1 sack. A'shaun Robinson in check. Ricky Jean Francois, they kept him in check as well. So, as long as they just continue to do that, give Chase Daniel a clean pocket, because I assume that Chase is going to start, because he's going to be nervous early on, and you can't let that pressure get to him early. As long as the offensive line continues to do what they've been doing all year, give him a clean pocket, plenty of time to throw, then I think that we're going to be off to a really good start on the road, and I think that's incredibly important.
Wow, Brandon, all those French classes are finally paying off with that Francois.
Finally paying off, right? I thought I was pretty impressed with that.
And fun fact, just for those listening, Brandon and I, we actually became friends in high school in a French class. So it all comes full circle. All right, guys. So last time when we did Who Has the Edge, and I'm not doing these officially this week because, again, we just broke it down a week and a half ago, and I don't think anything's really changed, but we had a clean sweep. We had the Bears' pass protection beating out the Lions' pass rush, Bears' pass attack beating the Lions' secondary, and the Bears' ground game having the edge over the Lions' run defense. Is there anything different? Do we need to change any of these, or are we still good with bringing out the broom here?
I second the broom.
Yeah, the only one that's questionable is the run game because we just don't know.
Fair. Exactly. And that's the big one. But I think overall, the Bears should have are the better team. Their offense is much more talented than the defense that Detroit's going to be putting out there on Thursday afternoon. All right, so we reached halftime. That's going to be the end of our offensive discussion. And real quick, I just want to say, I know Thanksgiving is in a couple of days, and we will be having a postgame show on that. But I just want to thank you for all the listeners. I know there's like 100 of you right now on YouTube, and it's a different day. It's a Tuesday. I want to appreciate you guys coming here and watching this show live. Anyone who's watching the video perhaps on demand afterwards on YouTube, and to everyone who's downloaded and listened to this podcast worldwide, I just want to say on behalf of Nick, Brandon and myself and the rest of our team, our writing team as well, I just want to thank you for being here, supporting us, and just giving us this platform to be a voice for you, the Chicago Bears, and a source of entertainment as well. It's been, we started this in 2015, and it's been a fun ride every step of the way, every season, watching our audience grow, watching them grow relationships among themselves as well. So to build this little community, it's just great. But I just want to say thanks to you for all your support throughout the years. It really does mean a lot. And if you haven't yet, to return the favor, if you haven't, just simply rate our show on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. Every review we get or anytime you rate our show, it does help us reach more and more Bears fans worldwide. And we're not backed by any media entity. We don't have thousands of dollars in an advertisement budget to kind of promote our show. We rely on you, word of mouth, Bears fans. So if you haven't yet, that'd be grateful. And if you don't want to do that, maybe just tell a friend, tell a family member that you think would love this show just like you. So again, on behalf of all of us at the Bears Brothers, a little bit early, but thank you so much. We are thankful for your support. Alrighty, guys, let's go ahead and just move right along into the Bears defense. And since Khalil Mack's return, they've been back to playing at an extremely high level. Held Minnesota only 3 points through three quarters, and the last time we saw the Lions, they held them to 10 points through three quarters. But in the last 2 weeks, they have allowed 29 points in the game's final quarter. And granted, we've entered both of those fourth quarters with substantial leads, but I think this deserves to be asked. Do you guys have any concern with the Bears' fourth quarter defense and their performance? Because we talk a lot about the offense closing out games and needing to close out games, but I think there's some stock here that we need to start requesting the same from our defense too. Nick, how about you?
Yeah, we actually talked about that on our audio mailbag yesterday, the concerns in the fourth quarter overall offense and defense. And I think, you know, with a dominant defense, a top three defense, you want to see them actually close out a game to where these opposing teams are not getting these garbage points, these garbage touchdowns, and making it a lot closer than what it actually is. So it is a little concerning because the common denominator, like we've said in all these shows now, is that hurry up, quick passing, short passing offenses where the Bears are playing a little off because they have the lead, and eventually opposing teams, you know, start to make their way down the field, eventually get in the end zone. So it is a little concerning that the Bears have not been able to maybe close out a game completely because they have the defense to do it. They really do. They have all the playmakers set. They just got to have that mentality, that same kind of scheme throughout all four quarters and not just the first three and a half or whatever. So it is a little concerning, but again, the Bears have built up such a big lead in the first three quarters that they can almost get away with it for now. And Detroit is a team that you probably can get away with it even with a backup quarterback, but you see the Rams and what they did last night, no way that can happen because you will get blown out if that's the case.
Yeah, it's really interesting, too, because we play a lot of pre-event when we get in fourth quarter because, of course, we have a big lead and we're trying not to give up the big play. But still, it seems like teams with this prevent defense, they use the no huddle, they use the hurry up, they use the tempo, they do all these short and read throws, and they still march their way down there and end up scoring anyway. So I don't know why you would perhaps change that. And just if you stick to your base defense, stick to what got you there, then even if you do give up the big play, which this defense really hasn't when they're actually out there playing to their true system, their true scheme, then what's the difference? I mean, maybe you want them to kind of kill some of the clock for themselves, which will hurt them to kind of dink and dunk down the field instead of getting that big explosive play and put the ball right back in the hands of our offense, which hasn't been able to close our games, which in turn, I suppose, would put the ball right back in the hands of the offense that just scored the big play and the opponent. So maybe you do want to have them work the clock against them. Maybe that's mentality. But still, it's a little disconcerting when you see all those points given up in the fourth quarter, regardless of those lead, regardless of the Bears playing a little bit more prevent and teams, you know, calling it garbage time, if you will. But I still want to see a little bit more because, like you said, when we play some of these more formidable opponents, these offenses, if the Bears enter the fourth quarter with a couple, like a 2-score lead somehow, say against the Rams are so dangerous, they can do that real quick, even if you are playing prevent. So the Bears need to find ways to close out games on both sides of the ball. But I think it's a time that we needed to bring up the defense as well here. But what about you, B? Anything else you want to bring up?
Yeah, I think because offenses get desperate, they, you know, go to this hurry up, no huddle, short pass, dink and dunk, because they know that Vic Fangio doesn't want to give up the big play. That's why it works. And I don't know if you guys caught Akeem Hicks mic'd up against Sunday night. Excuse me. But he brought it up. He brought the defense together, started the fourth quarter, and said, hey, we give up points here. Let's not do it again this week. So they are aware of the issue. And I think that they almost have to become desperate, like the opposing offense trying to put up points, become desperate to not allow them to score, especially late in games. You guys are getting, you know, defenses are getting tired. It's, you know, big lead. It's understandable why they would slack off and not want to play this up-tempo pressure defense that we've seen through the first 3.5 quarters. But they need to become desperate, just like the opposing offense, and try to shut it down and really limit those points. I think at that point, it just becomes a mindset thing. You have to be able to win the point of attack and win these battles. And I think that that's where the issue falls, is kind of in the mindset.
Exactly. Now, one of our biggest takeaways from that Sunday nighter was just how well the Bears were against the run, completely shut down the Vikings, only 1.6 yards per carry allowed. And they only gave up 22 yards on 14 attempts. The Lions are going to be without Kerryon Johnson, who put up 51 yards on us 2 weeks ago. And outside of him, the Lions don't have too much to work with. So, Nick, are you anticipating another shutdown here and making the Lions one-dimensional yet again?
Oh, absolutely. And Kerryon Johnson really changes things for that Detroit Lions offense. When he gets going, things open up for the Lions. They're able to do what they want to do with Stafford and the receivers. But with no Johnson, because without him on the field, you're relying on LeGarrette Blount, who is nowhere near the type of running back, completely different guys, a bigger back in LeGarrette Blount, and then Kerryon Johnson. He can make you miss with a bunch of moves, has that quick, you know, hit ability to make a home run move. He's a good running back. He really is. And I know he's only a rookie, but without him, that really limits what Detroit can do. And if they go one dimensional, having Stafford, you know, pass all the time, That's not the recipe for success. I know the Lions definitely love to pass the ball, but still, they might be without Marvin Jones in this game due to he didn't practice today, so that's going to be a big blow to them, not having Kerryon Johnson. I don't see this offense really having a good day against this Bears defense.
Yeah, you kind of alluded to something I have coming up here in a few minutes. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a few moments, but Brandon, over to you. How are you feeling here? Do you feel like the Bears shouldn't? I mean, they're the number one team again now in rushing defense. I anticipate them with LeGarrette Blount, who's been averaging like less than 2 yards per carry. It's not looking well for Detroit.
No, it's not, because Kerryon Johnson's that quicker back. Last night when Nick and I were recording the audio mailbag, we sent some probably not nice thing about LeGarrette Blount. And again, in the last game, he only averaged 0.7 yards on average per carry. 6 carries for 4 yards. So I'm not really worried about him burning us. He's just not as fast as Kerryon Johnson. He's got a little more weight to carry around, is I think is the nicer way that Nick and I were putting it last night. So, I mean, I'm not really worried about Detroit's run game, because we've seen Khalil Mack and Eddie Goldman and the rest of the front seven just be able to shut down two really good running backs in Minnesota on Sunday. And I don't think that they would have much of an issue with really just one running back that Detroit's got right now.
Exactly. And with Blount, you mentioned his extra weight, and he's going to have a little bit more momentum, and you just got to be aggressive. You can't try to arm tackle him. You just have to do, you know, fundamental sound tackling, wrap him up. And I mean, he obviously this season with his meek, I guess would be the word I'm going to call it, yards per attempt, we shouldn't have much problem whatsoever. Now, guys, I just want to let you know that I am young enough to remember when the Bears took down Matthew Stafford 6 times. Just a heads up. That was 9 days ago. I am young enough to remember that, though. But including two from Khalil Mack, by the way. Now, Chicago, of course, they simply outmanned the Lions front, and they were able to harass Matthew Stafford all game long. And Brandon, I'm going to go to you. What needs to happen in order for the Bears to kind of replicate that performance?
I want to see another one of those highlights that I've been watching like the last 9 days of Khalil Mack getting the tight end out of the way and then just running over the tackle and then getting his way to Matthew Stafford. That was pretty cool. So if he can keep doing that, that'd be awesome. So there's one key, but no, I think it's just a lot of what we've seen against Minnesota where they have to pick, are we going to defend Akeem Hicks or Leonard Floyd or Khalil Mack? And now with all those guys healthy, we'll see where Aaron Lynch is at. I don't know where he's at as far as concussion protocol goes, but I don't anticipate him playing just because I wouldn't expect him to, I guess. Usually they wait for concussions to the last minute to decide anyway.
Yeah,
it's
hard to pass the whole protocol in 4 days.
Right. So I don't anticipate him playing, but regardless, there's still enough weapons out there on the Bears pass rush that Detroit's going to have similar problems to what they had 9 days ago. They have to be able to pick one of these guys, and their offensive line just is not good enough to stop all three of these guys.
No, it's like Akeem Hicks said after the game on Sunday night, like, who are you going to block? You're going to block me? You're going to block Mac? And then you're going to have Leonard Floyd? It's a recipe. And that's what I love. And it's the same thing with the Bears offense, too, with the weapons through the air. But the Bears pass rushers, when they're all healthy and they're all playing to the high level that we know they can, teams have to pick their poison. And usually, no matter what, you pick one, the other one's going to come in and clean up the job. So I think
that's
as long
when
as
you send in the corner blitz with Bryce Kelly and just totally throw him off. And so, I mean, Vic Fangio, I think he knows what he's got on his team, obviously, and he's going to dial it up to success.
I mean, that's what happened last time, too. They brought in some blitzes with Bryce Callahan. It was effective against the Lions. They did it with Roquan Smith. It was effective as well. So I'm looking for Vic to keep up the aggressive mentality, especially if we keep them one-dimensional like we did a week and a half ago. That's exactly the recipe. Keep them one-dimensional. You know Stafford's going to have to drop back. He's not the most mobile of quarterbacks. You send in blitzes from all different angles to kind of keep him and the rest of the offensive line on their toes, not knowing exactly where the rush is going to come from. And if that happens, it's pretty simple stuff from there on out. What about you, Nick? Anything else? It just seems like, like the offense, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
No, exactly. I mean, the Bears just need to come after him, stay aggressive. But I will say this, Detroit, after giving up 16 sacks in 2 weeks from the Minnesota Vikings and the Bears, they only gave up one sack against Carolina, and Carolina's not the best team against the quarterback. They're tied for 23rd in the league with 23 sacks. So they did a better job. They're improving. So I obviously they're fixing something, but what really worked in those games for the Vikings and the Bears front seven is running those stunts. The Detroit Lions did not know how to counter the stunts. People were running in freely, getting to Matthew Stafford, getting his face, getting uncomfortable, getting him uncomfortable. So like you said, we've said it now, I think, four times. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And keep running those stunts. See if this Lions team has learned. And the one sack, maybe they have a little bit. But this is a far more talented, more capable front seven in the Bears than Carolina's. So I think that's what's going to be the difference here, that the Bears, regardless of if they've improved or not, they're still going to be able to get after Stafford.
Yeah, you're generous with using the I word improve there. I think they just had a better game against an inferior opponent. Because when you go up against the Vikings, and then you go up against the Bears, going up against Carolina probably feels like a cakewalk.
Oh, yeah, that's very accurate.
So now they have to go back to this beard. And you know what? I know how aggressive we are, and you know everyone's going to be a little bit sore on Thursday. I mean, I'm sore, and I'm just watching these games. So with a sore offensive line, you never know. I know how aggressive we are. And someone like a Khalil Mack, who is a consummate professional who takes care of his body, he should be able to go 100% without any kind of setback at all. I'm not saying setback's probably a poor word, but everyone's going to be a little bit kind of behind because they don't have a full week to kind of recover and rest. Khalil Mack should be able to dominate against someone who's like either tackle, who's maybe a little bit behind, a little bit sore, a little bit on edge all day. All right, so looking at some of the matchups through the year, the Lions, as Nick already alluded to, spoiler alert, should be or may be without Marvin Jones Jr. He had 3 catches for 55 yards against us last time, and he is tied for the team high 5 touchdowns. On top of that, we should also mention that Kerryon Johnson's absence is also going to impact the Lions here because he is their 4th leading receiver on the season. So, Nick, I'm going to go to you. Without these two players, where do you shift your focus? Is it going to be pretty much stopping Kenny Galladay? Because he has a whopping 27 targets in his last 2 games.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the main focus, stopping Kenny Golladay. And they went to him early in that game against Carolina. That was actually the very first play of the game, throw a short pass to Golladay. And he got, obviously, some more passes in that game. But another guy that we didn't even mention who's definitely going to be implemented in this game is Theo Riddick, a guy that is a pass-catching running back. So I think with that, they're definitely going to use him in the passing game a little bit more just to get another weapon out there. With no Kerryon Johnson, you're going to have to get more weapons out there. And that's a guy that he actually made a couple of catches. He ran a really good slant route against, I think it was Davis for the Carolina Panthers, was able to get in the middle of the field and, you know, make a good gain out of that. So that's another guy that it's probably going to be a Roquan Smith, a Dan Trevathan in the middle that they're going to have to account for.
Absolutely. How about you, B?
I really think that they can just double Kenny Golladay, especially if Marvin Jones is a no-go. And you have one safety over top and whatever corner he's matched up on. I think that's really the best way to attack it because that really shuts down. Like you said, he's had 27 targets the last two games. That's insane. So especially with no Marvin Jones, I think that's really just the best way to lock him down. And Nick brought up Theo Riddick, which I was kind of hoping to sneak in there. But I mean, the Lions don't really have a reliable tight end, at least looking at the last game. Toliolo had one reception for 16 yards. TJ Jones had one for 12. Michael Roberts had one for 9. Brandon Powell had one for 6. I don't even know if all those guys are tight ends off the top of my head. I don't have their depth chart in front of me. But those are all guys that you don't necessarily hear a lot of. I know Toliolo is a tight end, so they're not necessarily going to use that either because I don't think they've got necessarily a reliable one. So I think it really just comes down to if they can shut down Kenny Golladay. It's going to have to be the Matt Stafford running around show because I don't know who else he's going to have to throw to outside of Theo Riddick.
That was one of our big keys going into last game because without Golden Tate, he kind of lost his best weapon and his most, you know, consistent target, the guy he always relied on. And now that's going to be Golladay. So you take him out of the equation, like you said, Brandon, it's going to be a lot of Matthew Stafford running around looking for an open man, probably not going to find it, and it shouldn't take long for the Bears pass rush to kind of hit home and take care of business on their end as well. For me, two other players I think we should keep in mind, though. Bruce Ellington in the slot. He's a little bit new. In his first game with the Lions last week, he had 9 targets. He hauled in 6. He had 52 yards. I mean, I think Bryce Callahan should and will be able to kind of shut him down, but if we're looking at where the ball is probably going to go, Ellington's going to get some looks here. So kind of pay attention to that matchup in the slot. And then Theo Riddick, 7 targets per game over his last 2, 90 yards in that span as well. I mean, 60 yards against us. So obviously it's going to be key for the Bears linebackers to kind of Roquan Smith and more in particular too, to make sure he doesn't break free for a big gain with the ball in his hand. I will say that in our notes, and we talked about in the postgame show after the last Lions game, that we thought Roquan had one of his better days in coverage. And of course, one of my bigger memories of that Vikings game is going to be that missed tackle that he had over the middle of the field where he let the receiver kind of stand back up and keep going. So as long as Roquan can kind of return to form like he did against the Lions last time, don't really expect anything theoretically breaking this game wide open or anything. All right, so I asked us about the offense, so I figured we may as well just come full circle, keep it 360 here, and kind of close it out. What are going to be your keys to success for the Bears defense this week? And let's go to Brandon first.
I think it's not just a one key to success. I think a key player is going to be Eddie Jackson, especially since we talked about really shutting down Golladay. I imagine he's going to look at him and go, he's going to have a lot of targets. Let's see if we can make Matt Stafford's day just terribly awful and just see if we can find ways to intercept him or force the ball out because they had a fumble on Golladay in the last game, if you remember, but the challenge flag didn't get out in time. So let's see if they can find ways to force those turnovers, especially on key guys that we know are going to get the ball because there's not a whole lot of weapons for Stafford to throw to this week. So let's see them really pick on those guys, and I think that's going to be a recipe for disaster for the Lions offense.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to say the saying that we've already said 4 times, so I'm going to go over to Nick to scoot over. Nick, how about you? Any keys?
I think it's just playing fundamentally sound. You brought up a really good play where Roquan Smith missed that tackle. That keeps the opposing offense out there. And like we talked about, it could be Chase Daniel at quarterback. You need to give that guy as many opportunities to score as possible. And that's going to be getting those 3 and outs and just being, you know, making secure tackles, playing fundamental in coverage. This is a game where even though the Bears may not have their starting quarterback, it's a game that the Bears should win. So the defense needs to just come out and do what it's been doing. They played a good opponent in Minnesota last week on Sunday. Shut them down. For the majority of them, shut down Kirk Cousins. That's what you got to do against Matthew Stafford, who's going to be without one of his best weapons in Marvin Jones and Kerryon Johnson. So take care of business, play fundamentally sound, and the Bears defense will be all right.
I can't really add any more than you guys already, you know, kind of provided. Again, it's the Bears defense is ahead of Detroit's offense. We saw it in the last meeting between these two. When the Bears can play sound coverage and the pass rush is flying like we know it can, everything seems to fall into place. So as long as everyone's doing their job, like Nick said, playing fundamentally sound, and the coverage is there, not having any miscommunications in the back end of this defense, the Bears front seven, which is more powerful than the Detroit Lions front, should be able to win all day as well. So pretty simple stuff, really, when you think about it. Sometimes football can be the most complicated of games, and sometimes it can be one of the most simplest games. And I think right now, looking at the Bears defense versus the Detroit Lions offense, it's going to be one of those kind of simple games that it just makes sense when you kind of think about everything we just mentioned. But just like I did with the offense as well, last time when we did the edge, Brandon, I think you brought out a boot. So I want to know, are we clean sweeping this again? Bears pass rush versus the Lions pass protection, Bears secondary versus the Lions passing attack, and then the Bears ground run defense versus the Lions ground game. Are we just going to call it, you know, a clean sweep yet again?
Clean boot?
Yeah, I'm going to call it a clean sweep. It's just that he's without more weapons this time too, which just really adds to the Bears' favor. So I'm in vote for a clean sweep.
All right. Sounds like a plan to me. We'll just move on. I was going to say carry on along.
He's not playing.
All right, guys, real quickly, special teams. Anything you want to mention besides the big elephant in the room about Cody Parkey kicking against the Lions?
Be interested to see if we try extra points. I don't think we tried one against Minnesota. Did we? They were all 2-point conversions.
Yeah, I think, now I can't remember, but
yeah, I don't remember.
And it was just a couple days ago. It was a long night.
It was a long night. Monday was a very long day with a lot of no sleep. And then Monday night, I stayed up late last night too because of that game. So catching up on sleep tonight is going to be a big priority. But no, I think the big one is Cody Parkey. I know that Detroit hasn't had one of the best special teams units. We talked about that last time, how they have a new special teams coach because they fired their current coordinator. Former coordinator. So all the things we mentioned last time, same thing kind of applies here.
No extra points for kick. Just looking at the stats here. No extra points.
Thank you. Yep. We needed that. That was pivotal. Like, we would have to just stop the show if we didn't know that.
Delete everything. This never happened. Start over. He didn't have any extra points.
And welcome back, Bears fans. All right, real quick, before we get into predictions, just a fun question that's kind of just hit my mind. What's your favorite side dish during Thanksgiving? Because it is Thanksgiving week. What about you, B?
Mashed potatoes and gravy. That's definitely my favorite side.
What about you, Nick?
Yeah, I have to go with mashed potatoes. I always have a bread roll, too, so I kind of make a sandwich in there. I have, like, ham stuffed with mashed potatoes and then just have a little sandwich. That is, like, amazing.
Mm. That sounds really good. I'll have to give
it
a shot.
Do it.
Hopefully it's the stuffing I'm making. I mean, I'm making the whole dinner. This is what I do every year. I love cooking. But I'm making a new stuffing this year, and I'm going to put some pecans in it with a little extra crunch. I'm very excited to try that out. But I start brining my turkey tomorrow, which is like one of my favorite rituals to do because you have to cook the brine, ice it, get the turkey in the bucket, and watch it for a day. You always go check on it. But I'm very excited to start this dinner here tomorrow afternoon. But all right.
Fun fact.
Go ahead. Yeah, of course.
Turkeys that are. Our alma mater of Wheatfield Elementary. I guess the teachers went turkey bowling where they roll a frozen turkey down the hallways and the winner gets the turkey, which I think is kind of weird. Like, it's already tenderized, but I don't know that I'd want it after all that.
It's a bruised bird right there.
All right.
It is a little weird.
Welcome to Wheatfield, Indiana, Nick.
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead, get back on track here, close out the show with a few of our predictions. And like always, let's go ahead and hand out our bold predictions. And I'm going to go ahead and kick this one off just in case Nick wants to steal mine this week. I don't think he has, but he probably would if he could, because mine's going to be about Leonard Floyd. He had his first sack of the season against the Lions 9 days ago. And so for me, my bold prediction, Leonard Floyd gets not one, not two, but 3 sacks so far on Stafford on Thanksgiving, which I know would give me plenty and a lot of Bears fans as well to be thankful for. So, Nick, how about you? What's going to be your bold prediction?
This is pretty bold because it hasn't happened yet this season. Jordan Howard gets that first 100-yard rushing game, and obviously we don't know what this rushing game is going to do, but I'm going to go with that. Jordan Howard finally gets 100 yards this season.
What has this world come to where that's a bold prediction? Because I remember a time where that was an expectation.
Yeah, and that's – look, it's a different running game this season, but it hasn't happened. So let's see it happen in Week 12 against the Detroit Lions when Jordan Howard and that rushing attack did not have a good game. So bold prediction, Jordan Howard gets 100 yards rushing first time this season.
Man. Brandon, how about you?
My bold prediction is going to fall in the interception category. I think we get 3 interceptions in this game.
Hey, I said go bold. We do that every week. What are you talking about?
4 interceptions.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just throwing a little bit of flack your way. That's a good bold prediction. I don't know if we've, you know, it's Thanksgiving. Stafford is, I don't think he's thrown 3 interceptions in a game this season yet. So it's a bold prediction nevertheless. I just think with our secondary, that's a little mild, B.
Yeah, I agree. I was trying to come up with like a much bolder number. I was like, there's just no way that even happens. So I'm going to stick with 3. We're going to go mild. We're going to kind of a mild prediction this week, I guess.
Is that what Ned Flanders? Like,
I almost broke out that Cody Parkey's going to hit an extra point in this one, but I wasn't sure if I wanted to go that route.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to touch that topic right now. I think I'm just going to let him have his Sunday night, and then we'll see what happens on Thursday, and we'll go from there. At least we're going to be in a dome. That's going to...
Can I say that, like, Pat O'Donnell drop kicks a field goal?
that's hella bold.
That's how they used to be able to do it.
I know. Drop kicks are fun. I remember watching Doug Flutie do one way back in the day. That was, I was like, what is that? And I was like, early, that wasn't even high speed internet days. So I'm like Googling, like, what, like, is this dropping the ball and kicking it through the uprights? I was probably like 10 years old, 9 years old. And I was like, oh, wow, this is pretty cool. And he saw, like, used to happen way back in the day, like, consistently. Mm-hmm. Now it's not even a thing. All right. MVB. Curious where this is going to pan out. Anyone have Chase Daniel? Anyone?
I thought about it.
If he doesn't play, like, you're automatically lose because he's not even in the game. So no, but I guess I'll just start this off. MVB, I'll go with Akeem Hicks. I think that coming off the monster performance that he had against the Vikings and what he does consistently all season, he's going to be back and ready for this Thanksgiving dinner. And he's probably going to be the one who gets a turkey leg afterwards because that's just who Akeem Hicks is. So I think he'll be the MVP in this one.
Do they do that on CBS? Do they do the turkey legs?
I thought they I don't know.
I thought it was the primetime NBC game.
They should give him turkey anyway. Somebody give Keem Hicks turkey after the game.
Any Bears fans going to the game, have a turkey leg ready and just toss it to Akeem.
Yeah. He'll catch it.
He'll Akeem.
He was lined up as wide receiver last week, so he's ready. He's ready.
Absolutely. What about you, B? Who's going to be your MVP prediction?
I'm going to give it to Taylor Gabriel. I don't think he gets shut out in this one. I think he has an over 100-yard receiving game, and I think he's going to play a very vital point because he's very good at helping quarterbacks raise their quarterback rating, as I like to point out, I think, each and every week. And I actually think I just pointed out a couple days ago, so I'm going to say it again because I haven't said it in a couple days. Taylor Gabriel is going to play a big part in helping Chase Daniel get comfortable.
What are you doing, Brandon? Are you like in the shower, like washing your hair, and you're like Taylor Gabriel, like always upset rating? Like I have to say it.
That's me. And
that's the first thing I say to myself every morning when I wake up. Like, yeah, Taylor Gabriel's going to do good today. He's not even playing today, but he's going to do good today.
There we go. For me, last time that we are going into the Bears-Lions game, I said it was going to be Tariq Cohen, but they found a way to hold him to only 45 yards on offense. But he did score a touchdown. I'll give him that. But I'm looking at how bad we torched them deep last time, so I'm anticipating the Lions trying to limit that, which should, in theory at least, open up plenty of room underneath for Tariq Cohen on some option routes against some of these linebackers. So my MVP choice, I'm going to go right back to Tariq Cohen. I expect him to find a way to make a handful of big-time plays, and unless Matt Nagy, again, like we talked about, tries to utilize him as an inside zone rusher against the Lions, which was the thing that we saw just 9 days ago, but... with his fumble last week, I'm looking for him to make a positive impact, playing with a chip on his shoulder because he's a prideful player, and I'm sure that one's going to stick in his mind, not in a bad way, but in a way that's going to make him want to play a little bit more hungrier. So on a day in which it's a day about gorging yourself, I'm going to say that Tariq Cohen's going to find a way to just, you know, eat up the yardage on all three phases of the game, which is going to be why he'll be our MVP on Thursday afternoon, which means, guys, it's time to predict the final score. And just recap our standings, I'm sitting at 7-3. Nick and Brandon, you're at 8-2. So since I'm at the bottom, I'll graciously step aside and let Brandon begin.
I have the Bears winning this one 23-10. I think that the Bears just give up those 10 points in the fourth quarter in desperation time like we've seen without Marvin Jones, without Kerryon Johnson. I mean, I think this Lions offense is really going to struggle. And Chase Daniels, I don't think, is going to put up the same amount of points. I think he's nervous early. So I have 23-10 Bears.
All right, 23-10 for B. How about you, Nick?
So I'm going to predict this score based off if Chase Daniel was starting, 20 to six. So their Bears are going to give up a field goal and not that touchdown in that garbage time. So 20-6 Bears.
All right. Mine is a little bit closer. I have mine. Well, yeah, 21-17. Detroit plays very well at home. And that's something that we saw last week against Carolina. They're a little bit of a different animal. I mean, they're still Lions technically, but they're a little bit of a different animal at home. As we saw, they played a very good Carolina team and they beat them. So with Chase Daniel going, I don't expect the Bears to find a way to score as much as they did last time, over 30 points. And in a short week, I'd be interesting to see how much of a game plan they can install. I know Chase Daniel is smart and I know he knows his system, which should be a benefit if he does end up playing. But I'm curious to see exactly what kind of a game plan Matt Nagy can make for him. So for me, I'm going to give it 21-17. Closer game. I think the Bears' defense plays well, but Detroit's offense finds a way to score, again, fourth quarter like we've seen. So I say entering the fourth quarter, it's actually going to be 21 to like maybe 10, maybe 7, and then Detroit starts chipping away like we've seen every other team do here in the fourth quarter. But for me, I do have the Bears winning this game when it's all said and done, which would be pretty remarkable to win three straight divisional games in this very tough stretch, which I know we all circled when the schedule came out. It's like, ooh, that's going to be tough. And then they flex us to Sunday night, like, whoa, it just got a little bit tougher. But I do think the Bears, being the better team here, finds a way to complete the trio, the trifecta, if you will. But let's go ahead and end the show here like we have all of our game previews so far this season, which is going to be with our confidence meter and our final thought. So, Nick, over to you. Where's your confidence?
Again, I want to say I had a confidence meter around a 9 last week against the Minnesota Vikings. I knew they were going to win this one. And regardless of who's at quarterback, regardless if it's in, you know, it's in Detroit on Thanksgiving Day on a short week, this team is just better than the Detroit Lions. They won a game against Carolina. Great. But this is a Bears team that has high aspirations to not just play, you know, regular season games, but playoff games, meaningful football in January. So that's why I'm going to give this one a 9.5. The Bears are going to take care of business on a short week, even without maybe their starting quarterback, because that defense is elite. They have playmakers all over the offense, and you have Matt Nagy. The Bears are winning this football game.
Real quick, I'm just looking at the chat here, and Adam H. has Parkey as the MVB. 15-14 will be the final score. Parkey makes 5 field goals. And then Tristan, our moderator, replied with, you know, like, Jesus. I'm like, I agree. That's a very lavish prediction.
That'd be
I love
so
the
stressful. So stressful to watch. Like, oh, man.
Every time he goes trading up there.
Oh, man. That would be awful.
All right, Brandon, you're up.
If Cody Parkey kicks 5 field goals, may not have any hair left, but I think I'm going to give my confidence like an 8 7/8. As long as they don't overlook this game, I think that they're going to be in really good shape. I don't foresee them overlooking this in any way. Like, this is not a T game, as we try to avoid that word, because then they turn around and play New York, like Will said earlier in the show. So there's nothing really to look ahead to. They just have to be able to take care of business here on the short week. And I think that Matt Nagy does a good job of keeping his team focused and locked in week to week. So I don't see that being an issue, but as long as they come out firing and aggressive, regardless who's a quarterback, then they're going to take this one, no problem.
All right, good stuff there for me. I'm going to give it an 8. Short week at their place. Lions always tend to come on and play on Thanksgiving, but still, we beat them convincingly last time. So if the Bears just don't let up, don't beat themselves. You know, we want to beat you, but don't beat you. I think that's going to be the big one this week. So if the Bears can play fundamental, like we talked about throughout the show, because the Bears are the better team, all they need to do is execute and they'll win. Even if they have a backup with Daniel, you know, they're just going to have to rely a little bit more on their defense. But as long as Chase can be that game manager, someone that we've envisioned him being within the system ever since the Bears decided to sign him in the offseason, we should be in good hands. And the Bears should be able to find a way to come away with this victory. I'm not going to say easily, but it shouldn't be all too difficult. All right, guys, that's going to do it, Bears fans, and I hope that you enjoyed this week's game preview. And if you're, of course, I hope that you're also enjoying this great stretch of Bears football. And just think about this. I tweeted this earlier today, and this really struck me. 9 days ago, we were talking about we had a 741-day drought without a single win in the division. And on Thursday, Thanksgiving, we have a chance to snag our third divisional win in 12 days. Talk about a remarkable turnaround of events. Now, up next, it will be Thanksgiving, and again, just in case you missed it, we are going to be planning on having a post-game show, but it's going to be a condensed version because all of us are going to be having family over. We're going to be, of course, celebrating the holiday, but still, we plan on being here for you, giving you the content that you expect each and every week from us, and of course, we never want to go a week without providing you with one of our post-game podcasts. So in the meantime, enjoy the holiday. Eat a ton of great food, because I know we will. And of course, we're going to talk to you on Thanksgiving afternoon as soon as the final whistle blows. But until then, bear down, Chicago. Bear down!